There's no more devoted country to rugby league in the world than Papua New Guinea, but I dare say that the PNG elections are just going to dominate the international attention and the domestic landscape of PNG for the majority of the year. The elections already have a bit of controversy surrounding them. The National Election Commission has routinely been underfunded over the last few years and has not gotten the full budget that they've been trying to get to update the electoral roll and to get everything fully organized for the elections. PNG elections are a logistical marvel that they can even take place. I mean, considering how the logistical difficulties of traversing one of the most geographically challenging areas of the world and where you have such a large proportion of your population living in rural and remote areas. And over the last few years, last few election cycles, PNG has emerged to being the most expensive election to run per capita in the world.
As you mentioned, PNG elections are super expensive, and we've seen the Electoral Commission have its budget for the elections cut significantly in recent years, and this year is promising to be no different. What can we expect? Is that going to affect the way that the election is actually rolled out in terms of keeping to the schedules? We've already seen possible changes in dates for the issuing of writs. Is that really going to spoil things, do you think?
Well, it'll certainly have an impact. Let's hope that now that we're getting closer to the election, the government is getting more focused on it and will start injecting the resources that the NEC needs to actually run the elections fairly and appropriately. So the 2012 elections, the international observers that took part in that process, they said that the elections weren't perfect, but they did work, and we will have independent officials coming again this year, and hopefully they'll get enough resources and logistics will get put in place and the security apparatus will be put in place to ensure that there's even better result this year.
And of course, security is a big issue. We're seeing already a gun amnesty taking place across the country to try and remove high-powered weapons from communities, which of course would be disastrous if there's, even the slightest little bit of tension, which we've seen in previous elections. So that's one aspect that obviously the government is already trying to cover. I wondered too what your perspectives are on the role that social media might play in this year's election. We've seen, particularly in the last few years, a real explosion of the use of social media, and we know that PNG government has made some comments and attempts to kind of crack down on the information and the sorts of comments spread on social media. But do you think this could actually play a positive role, or are we in danger of perhaps misinformation and attempts to bribe and whatnot filtering through via social media?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, we're now living in the post-information age, The role of social media and these unfiltered sources of information, really a double-edged sword. As you say, that there could be profound positive benefits, improved accountability, transparency about what's happening in remote areas, bringing that to the attention of officials and independent reviewers. But also, as there is that negative consequence that we don't really know what to believe in anymore from these sources, that a lot of them aren't credible, a lot of them don't have any sort form of filter or oversight to tell us what is actually happening. So we do run the risk of just being overwhelmed by the volume of information we'll be receiving in this election from third-party sources that can't always be fully accredited. I am hopeful. I hope that social media will play a positive role in this process, but we will see.
And what do we know about the mood of Papua New Guinean voters? We know that PNG, the economy, is going through a tough period. The Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, still has an unresolved corruption case that we've kind of seemed to have forgotten about more recently. But do you think that there is potential for real change in terms of who would end up getting the numbers to lead possibly a new government in PNG?
Well, absolutely. Anything's possible. In PNG elections routinely turn over a large proportion of the sitting MPs. And despite the money politics that always takes place in these elections, there is always a big renewal and refresh every election. So it is very unpredictable to see what's going to come out on the other end of it. I think Prime Minister O'Neill believes that he has a strong legacy to enter this election on. Of course, as you say, the economy is going through some really tough times. They have been buffeted by global commodity prices and other global trends, but they've also made a few missteps that have not really helped get them back onto a pathway of fiscal and growth security. It really is unpredictable. It's very difficult to say what will come out from this year's election.
All right, and we started this interview talking too about rugby, the Rugby League World Cup coming to PNG, and politics and sport, I think, are the two most popular points of discussion in Papua New Guinea, and particularly rugby. We've seen PNG pull off some pretty impressive hosting abilities, most recently the FIFA Under 20 Women's World Cup, the Pacific Games the year before. Do you think it's going to be ready, and how important is the fact that PNG is going to be hosting those three games in Port Moresby going to be for putting PNG and particularly rugby on the world stage?
Well, first of all, it's excellent to see that this infrastructure that the PNG government has put a lot of investment into is actually being used routinely for various events. There was a lot of criticism around the Pacific Games when all this new infrastructure was popping up in Port Moresby, that asking, was this the most appropriate way to invest finite government resources? And, you know, that decision's been made, but at least they are reinvesting in the existing infrastructure to run the Rugby League World Cup. But this provides an amazing opportunity for PNG to really showcase, as a tourism potential, to, you know, if they can start organising tour packages, bringing in people who are not necessarily a fan of Papua New Guinea, but a fan of the sport. And there are pockets in Europe, in Africa, in Australia. There are massive groups of people who are passionate and love rugby league. And this is a great opportunity for Papua New Guinea to tap into that group, to bring them to PNG and see all of the other amazing tourist potential and potential this country has.